Hello, this is day 17 of a 30-day journey into stillness. From an energetic point of view, trust and spaciousness are synonymous. When I really trust that things are the way they are, and practice letting go again and again and again, it's really endless. But when I do that, a spacious quality begins to emerge that relieves me of the tension caused by an endless stream of personal preferences. These usually revolve around something like, this should be happening, not this. Or, this should not be happening, this should. This is not to say things need to be addressed in the world. We're talking about the energy of how we approach these changes. So keep this in mind as I continue to read. This habit of personal preferences keeps my thinking mind very active, very blown up, puffed up, central, always in the foreground. You get the picture. It becomes the dominant filter through which I relate to life, and it can make my view very restricted and cramped. It is the opposite of spaciousness. In the end, this journey of stillness is one of constantly letting go of a perceived sense of control. It is this perception of control that creates the momentum for the personal preference paradigm we are currently drowning in. There has never been a generation like ours with so many personal preferences available. They keep us busy constantly. When the personal preference hamster wheel is slowed down, the love in the center of our heart has enough space to blossom. Then I really know that there is nowhere to go but here, in this moment, where love resides. I am right where I need to be. I trust love, and love flows through me, heart, mind, and body. So just allowing yourself to feel your response or responses, maybe you have several of them, to this reflection. when we begin to practice stillness, practice aligning ourselves with silence in our everyday life, we do become more aware of how constantly mind-focused we are. Always calibrating, always adjusting. And as you might have heard me mention before, it was Richard Rohr who named the two basic minds we deal with, and one is the calculative mind, and this came up in the conversation that Diane and I had in our halfway point yesterday. And that's the calculative mind, the thinking mind, the mind that thinks in dualism. That mind is constantly judging, comparing, contrasting, how am I doing here? It really is a very tortured mind. And what it is that motivates us to begin to question its validity and question its position of power that we've given it, because it is given a lot of priority in our culture, we have naturally been indoctrinated into that way of relating to life and to ourselves and to others. We didn't actually ever choose to have the calculative mind be the primary motivator, but this is part of why the culture we grow up in is so important. We, you know, how can we swim in water that's polluted, if you will, that's got XYZ in it, whatever you want to call it? How can we possibly be immersed in that water for most of our developmental years up to age 16, 20, and not come out with XYZ ourselves? Not come out polluted. And that may be a harsh way to say it, but if the calculative mind isn't balanced, and we need the calculative mind, it's not about getting rid of it at all. But it doesn't create any spaciousness. And that's a dimension of spiritual reality. That is really a requirement. So when we have no spaciousness, when we have no ability to really breathe deeply, to take a moment and just love that sense of this moment and the inhalation through the nostrils and the exhalation and maybe the sound of children playing or maybe even a plane flying overhead. Being very, very present is what happens as we begin to open up to spaciousness. And it's almost the reverse. It's almost that spaciousness opens up in us, would be more of a way to say it. But in order to have that happen, we need to be quite rigorous in this constant letting go. I remember my first talk on silence practice. It was about a year and a half, maybe 2 years after I had done the thesis and everything. And I gave a presentation at Canadian Memorial Church. I was one of three meditation instructors. And I went last, and people were getting pretty tired. And, you know, I just had them stand up and be with their body. Just move it how it wanted to move. Listen, let the body inform you. Let go of, I'm not going to give you any mental information here. This isn't what we need. We don't need more overlays to compare us to where we should be or shouldn't be. What we want to do is we want to create a spaciousness for us all to experience ourselves from an entirely different quality of beingness. And it's this spaciousness, this willingness to not feed the, I called it the hamster wheel. It's the constant, again and again, it's the same modus operandi all the time. The calculative mind doesn't have a lot of creativity, a lot of newness to it. It's pretty predictable. And the contemplative mind, with its quality of spaciousness, can actually be very present with this moment, with what's really what we are, and at the center of our heart, we're not separate from each other. And we're not separate from love. But I will never realize that. I will never experience this if I don't let go of this learned way of relating to life, this constant comparison of this should be happening and it's not. The elephants are all dying. Oh, I better sign this petition. And as Diane and I said in our conversation yesterday, we do that. And I feel great when I think of the elephants. I feel my heart. I'm with them. In my heart, I'm not separate from them. I'm not doing it from the outside. I'm doing it from the inside. And if there's no space inside, if I'm always driven and there's no spacious quality inside, I can't really be present for another being, whether that's an elephant or my husband. So we're really, what it comes down to is we're not really here. We're in a kind of could say it's kind of a made-up reality. That's mind generated. It's made up of concepts and constructs, cultural, personal, familial. But from a spiritual level, there isn't enough substance there to birth spirit, to refresh ourselves in who we really are as being. It's too small. It doesn't go near far enough. And yes, we have cultural traits, familial traits, genetic tendencies, learned behaviors. All of that's going to be part of our vehicle. But the main source of our becoming requires spaciousness. And when we start, it's very thrilling when we start, you know, even just use your hand now, you're sitting there. See if you can feel where there are pockets of spaciousness in your body. I'm surprised right now, I'm doing the same thing. I'm feeling with one hand. It's easier than two for me. I can focus more. I actually have a spaciousness sort of going right through my head, going up from the left to the right in the middle of the head. And it's not the center of the head. I don't know what it is. But I can sense there's a spaciousness there. So feel where there's spaciousness in your body right now. You may be able to sense it without using your hand. That might be easier. Maybe you feel some spaciousness in your heart. Maybe in the bottom of your feet. Remember, we're working with energy here. We're learning to open our eyes of perception, our spiritual faculties, as I have said in a couple of the previous day's reflections. It's very important to, I think it was on day four, to understand ourselves as energy beings, that there are types of thoughts that have different energy. If my thoughts are generated by a flow of love that is coming through me, those thoughts are going to be quite a different energetic. They're going to be much more spacious, much more forgiving, much kinder, softer, more flowing. So I'm describing the energy of that spaciousness of love. Then if I'm having thoughts of contraction and fear, habits of not trusting, not letting go, having to have things a certain way before I feel safe, before I can engage. And that's not to say we're to be fools. There are life situations where we have to be on guard. So this isn't a, you know, don't take what I'm saying and use it unwisely. We need wisdom. We need discernment. So I'm not saying that we don't need to be alert at times and make wise choices. So just allowing yourself in the remaining 10 or 20 minutes, whatever you can afford, to explore the spaces. And if you have email questions, you are certainly welcome to do that. Anytime you would like to send me an email. And I would like to have either on Saturday or Sunday of our last weekend, I think that would be the 28th or the 29th.
I'll send an email invite, and I'll do it on the weekend, and hopefully more of us can join in at the end of our month together. Because these conference calls where we actually hear each other's voice and question, it really helps to know that we're doing this as a group of 10 people. Thank you again for your listening, for your questions, and for your willingness and your courage to explore this territory. Thank you.